I appreciate the quality of music you all have here at the school. I tell you, music is a tremendous thing. And it's perhaps the greatest battlefield in the lives of a lot of young people. And I thank God for the standards of this school, because it will impact your life. And then when you go out, you can impact the lives of others in the right direction. Music should always glorify the Savior and exalt our Heavenly Father. And I thank God for the wonderful music I've heard so far. I'll probably preach a minute or two longer, because my heart's been stirred by the music this morning. All right? I taught you our theme verse yesterday of John 3 and verse 30 that says, He must increase, but I must decrease. So let's say good loud, okay? Here we go. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, a man of God wrote this poem. It's the power of selfishness. It is the willful lie. And there my Lord may live in me. My very self must die. Look, young people, we have a constant battle keeping this flesh under. And I hope, as you see the truth of this passage, that Christ will increase through your life. Well, tonight, at the close of the service, there'll be a table back there. Many years ago, I developed a program to help people memorize the Bible. All the subjects in book one are on daily living. Book two, all the subjects are on character. Book three, they're on Bible doctrine. And book four, it's on the family. When I developed the program, I had all these verses everywhere. And I said, there's got to be a key. How could they memorize or have any kind of organization? And I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. After 2 years of struggling, Pastor Marriott, struggling of finding a key. I had meetings in Green Bay, Wisconsin. When I thought, the title is The Two-Edged Sword Memory Plan, and wouldn't it be interesting if there are 26 letters in that title? And so I sat down at my desk, and I counted up The Two-Edged Sword Memory Plan, and there are exactly 26 letters. And guess what happened to me? I turned Pentecostal. I am not exaggerating. I jumped out high in the air. I jumped on top of the bed. I was in a motel. I was so thrilled. That was the key. You see, when you have something organized, then you can effectively memorize the Bible. Book one, T is trust, H is humility, E is example, T is temptation, W is walk, O is obedience. Book two, T is tongue, H, happiness, E, envy, T, time, W, wisdom, O, others. All four books are set up the same way to help you to memorize the Bible. There's five verses under each subject. And so there's 130 verses in each booklet, a total of 520 verses. So if you want to get the program, we'll mention more to you about it as the week goes on. Okay? Well, this morning, I want to bring a message on Luke 5 about going fishing. Now, I love to go fishing. Matter of fact, let me show you kids something. I was in Alaska not too long ago, and I got to go fishing with a dear friend of mine from the state of Michigan. And that is salmon right there, if you can see it. Eat your heart out, guys. And then the other one here, this is halibut. My very favorite fish as far as seafood is concerned. Halibut. And I love fishing. And you know what? This morning, we want to see from the Bible about a fishing experience that I hope God will use to stir your life. Would you all turn Luke chapter 5 and stand as I read verse 4 and 5 to you, please? Now, when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Our dear Father, we ask again for your divine help to preach the word of God. May our lives be deeply touched by what we hear. We ask for the Spirit of God to aid us in the presentation of that divine truth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. If you seek it, please.
In Luke 5, we have the account of these men of God who went fishing. And the first observation I call to your attention is the conflict that they encountered. Peter said, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." I can relate to that. I can relate fishing all night and not getting a single bite. Many years ago, my brother Mike, when we were teenagers, we'd go fishing all night for carp. By the way, I'm part Russian. My grandfather was born in Moscow. My grandmother was a full-blooded Russian born in Austria. My mother's parents came from Lithuania. And if you are foreign, you know how to fix carp. So don't you dare knock my carp, okay? However, when you fish for carp, you've got to use a certain bait. And we use what's called dough ball. And let me give you a West Virginia recipe. You take 2 cups of yellow cornmeal, 1 cup of flour, 1 teaspoon of sugar, and a few drops of vanilla extract. And you moisten that. And then you put it into a cloth, tie it up good and tight, put it in boiling water. And then we would make double batches. And so you would then, when it cooled off, you would work it. And you'd have a big ball like this of that dough ball. Now, what you do, you take a piece off, you put in your hook, you throw it out there, and you catch these carp this big. They will tear your poles up. Well, one night, my brother Mike and I were fishing as teenagers. And by the way, as a teenager, I had a tremendous appetite. I used to eat a loaf of homemade bread by myself. We're not talking about this sissy bread you have today. We're talking about homemade bread that you need. It's heavy. It's that big. And here's how you eat a whole loaf of homemade bread. You take a knife and cut it right in half. And then you put butter on one side and butter on the other side. And then you eat the middle out first. Then you eat the crust. Then you eat the other middle out. And then you eat the crust. And then you get ready for supper. Well, I had a tremendous appetite as a young man, and so did my brother Mike. And one night, we're fishing all night for carp, and it seemed like we never took any food with us. And I was starving. My stomach was growling so loudly, I was trying to pull it in, push it out. I could not quieten my stomach down. And so finally, around 4 o'clock in the morning, I turned my brother Mike. I said, "Mike, I am starving to death." He said, "Jerry, I'm starving too." I said, "Mike, let's eat the dough ball." He said, "Jerry, let's do it." So we ate the whole bowl of a dough ball. Forget about fishing, man. Another night, we're fishing for catfish. And by the way, that's a delicacy in West Virginia also. And one night, my brother Mike and I were fishing again. We had no food, starving to death. And that night, we were fishing with night crawlers. These big, long night crawlers like this. And we got so hungry. We took those long night crawlers like... No, we did not. But I do know what it means to fish all night and not get a bite. And all you face are just these constant conflicts. Many years ago, in West Virginia, I went sowing with a dear friend of mine who was a coal miner named Dot. And I took the Bible. I went in the home. I sat down. I began to give this lady the way of salvation. And finally, I said, "Ma'am, would you like for Christ to save you?" And real mean, she said, "No, I don't." I said, "Ma'am, you mean to tell me you're going to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ?" She said, "That's exactly right." And so we got ready to leave. We walked on the front porch. It was raining so hard, you couldn't see that far in front of you. When all of a sudden, she said to me, "Would you young men like to come back in for a cup of coffee until the rain stops?" And I hit Dot in the side. I said, "Dot, maybe God sent the rain that I can now lead her to Christ." I said, "Yes, ma'am, we'll come back in." So we went back in the kitchen, in the living room. She went in the kitchen. Now, listen, because I want to describe these two cups. She brought one of those dainty, dinky little teacups with a saucer, and she gave that to Dots. Then she brought one of those old-fashioned farmer cups that big with a handle on the side, and she gave that one to me. She goes to Brother Summers and went like that. She poured half of the pot in my cup. She was sitting right in front of me. Dot was over there. I'm seated in front of them. I've got my Bible like this, my cup of coffee. I took one drink of that coffee. And that coffee was so strong. It tasted like it had percolated since the birth of Methuselah. And I looked at Dot Summers like this. And Dot went like this toward me. He knew I was suffering. And my stomach was boiling down there. And I'm trying to keep the stuff down. And I got the last gulp down. And to myself, I said, thank God, that's over with. When she said, would you like another cup? And I drank two cups about just about killed me that day. Well, another time in South Carolina, I met a young man, a young married man, the Christ named David. And so David and I were going soul winning one night. And before we went soul winning, we were talking about our suits. Now, as you know, David, I just love this suit. I like the way, it was my favorite suit, a blue suit. And I said, I just love the suit. So we go soul winning in a very poor area of Anderson, South Carolina. And this very kind lady invited us into her home. And by the way, I was raised in a coal mining shack. So it's no big deal with me. I was used to that stuff. And so I sat down in the couch. She said, you men may sit on this couch. And I sat down on the couch. Have you ever sat down on the couch when you go lower and lower and lower when you're looking over your knees? And I'm way down there. And I began to witness to her and gave her the gospel. And when I got through, I said, ma'am, we got to go. And when I went to get up, I heard a loud rip. What happened? When I was going down, my partner saw the spring sticking up out of the couch. But he couldn't stop me. It was too late. And so I sat right on the middle of that spring. And I didn't want to embarrass the lady, so I sat back down real fast. And then I tried to work the spring out of me. And I thought I had the spring out of me. And I said, well, ma'am, we've got to go. I got back up. I heard another loud rip. I tore the entire side of my britches off. Oh, yeah, you laugh. It wasn't funny when it happened. You know what, young people? It seems like when you go soul winning, when you go out, there's always these conflicts that you encounter. Why is that so? The Bible gives the answer. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So look at me. You'll always find a conflict as you endeavor to go up and tell others of Christ. These men had toiled all night and had taken nothing. Second of all, though, I want you to observe the challenge that Christ gave. Look at verse 2, or verse 5, please. Or verse 4. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Now stop right there. Now, who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Look at me, young man. Hey, young lady. There's a challenge that Christ gives you. That challenge is launch out. You know, the Bible tells you in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So there is the go. He wants you to go. And when Christ gave the challenge to Peter, he said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Look at me and listen, please. You cannot force an individual to tell others about Christ. We cannot command you to go and be a witness for Christ. However, when a person is in love with someone, they cannot be silenced. For example, have you ever observed a young lady when she gets engaged? Now look at my face, please. All right. Well, she got the ring. All right. And here's the girl. She comes back to school. And here she is. Or wherever she is. She goes, you know, she wants you to see the ring. You know, and she wants everyone to see the ring. The guy is a pathetic case. I mean, he's sick. He makes an absolute fool of himself. He's blubbering all over himself. He can't be silent. That girl is a thrill of his life. And he just voices that deep love he has for her. You know what? When you're in love with the Savior, then you'll not be silent. And right now, your temperature gauge is manifested by how you present the Savior to those you know. And so Peter so loved the Lord, he said, we will let down the net. And when he did, look at verse 6, please. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they filled those ships. So they began to sink. Look here, please. I've always had a wild imagination. You know, I can just see this right now. By the way, I went fishing 3 weeks ago in Wisconsin with a guy who has a charter boat. And he has done this for many years. And I love fishing. He took me fishing just 3 weeks ago. And I got seasick. And he got seasick. And he runs the operation. That's how huge the waves were where we were fishing. And you know, when you go fishing, it's amazing how things happen so quickly. And so I can see in my mind, these guys are fishing. They lower the net. They begin to pull the net up, and the net literally begins to pull the boat downwards. And they look at the net, and there's so many fish in there. They beckon under the other ship. They come beside them. They take the fish out of the net, that one net, and there are so many fish that both of the ships begin to sink. You know, my observation is this. People say, Brother Jerry, it's so hard to see people saved. It's always been hard to see people saved. Can God give a great harvest of souls? Yes. And I'm very cautious even mentioning this to you students. Because I don't go around talking about numbers all the time. But just 2 summers ago, I was in Panama with a team of 50 medical doctors and nurses. We went by boat by 2 hours up into the jungles of Panama to reach the people for Christ. And there were 400 people that got saved in those 3 days that I preached. And here's my observation. In America, we are gospel soaked. In the foreign fields, they are gospel thirsty. These men had a tremendous catch. It always fills my life when God gives souls, regardless of the number. But here, they caught all of these fish that both ships began to sink. And then we find that Christ was going to say something to these men, which I think is very powerful. Look in verse 10, please. Jesus said, latter part of verse 10, Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now look here. I'd love to go fishing. But I'll tell you more on that. I love to go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. What I've done is this, young people. I've just made myself available. Did you hear what I said? I said, I just make myself available. And that's all God wants you to do. And so, a couple years ago, I live in this big town called Star, South Carolina. We got a red light just not too long ago in Star. And a dear friend of mine sat in a meeting when I mentioned that. He said, Brother Jerry, I've got one question. I said, yes, sir, what's that? He said, have they turned the light on yet? But it's a small town of 160 people. And so my wife, when we go home, we're gone so much that she's running all the time, getting stuff done. And to slow her down, all I've got to say is, honey, would you like to go for a ride in the country? And every time that will stop her just like that. And so I took my wife for a ride through the country. And then I said, would you like a soft drink? He said, yes, she would. So I stopped and got her a diet soft drink. And then we go down to a small town called Anchorville, which is near Lake Russell. And I know this impresses you kids, but Lake Russell is a new lake off of Lake Hartwell, and Lake Hartwell is one of the largest man-made lakes in America. And I only live 9 miles from Lake Hartwell. And so we go down there, and I said to my wife, I said, honey, would you mind if I stopped by and saw this man that I met several years ago? I said, it'll only take a minute. She said, no, go ahead, honey. And so I jumped out of the car, I ran to the house, I knocked on the door, and when I did, I saw a lock on that front door, like when you're selling a home. And so that kind of puzzled me, so I knocked even harder. And a man on the back porch looked at me and said, may I help you? I said, yes, sir, I'm looking for Larry. He said, well, Larry no longer lives here, I just bought his home. And we began to talk, and I said, well, he was just a dear friend of mine, and I just wanted to stop by and see. I had no idea he moved. And as we began to talk, he says to me, who are you? I said, well, my name's Jerry Stavinsky. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, sir, I'm an evangelist. And when I said that, the man literally froze on that porch and said, you mean to tell me that you're a preacher? I said, yes. He said, I cannot believe you're here. I said, why? He said, because I've been contemplating and taking my life all day long. I said, Kevin, can I come and talk with you? He said, yes. We walked in the kitchen. We sat down. And the first thing he said to me with it was this. He said, Jerry, my hell is now hell on this earth. I said, no, Kevin, that's not right. No. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked should be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. I said, hell is a specific location like heaven is a specific location. Then he said, I know what. I said, what's that, Kevin? He said, God is punishing me for my sins. I said, no, no. I said, no, Kevin. God does not punish you for your sins. No, the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. God loves you. And I began to show Kevin the way of salvation. Everything I showed the man, he said, this is what I need to hear. I believe that. And finally I said, Kevin, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? He said, this is what I need. He received Christ as a Savior. And then, when we got through talking, he said, Jerry, you may not believe this, but 2 years ago, I was ready to commit suicide. I mean, just on the verge of committing suicide when there was a knock on my front door. I opened the door. A man said, I'm Pastor so-and-so. I would like to give you this material for my church. And he gave me the material. He turned around and he left. He said, today, I'm on the verge of committing suicide. And you knocked and startled me. And when you said you were an evangelist, I knew God sent you. Because you took the Bible and you showed me how Christ could save me. You know, young people, when I left that house, I could not hold back the tears. I just was going for a ride. I had no idea the man was ready to commit suicide. But I've made myself available. And that's all you've got to do. Make yourself available. And our Lord will make you a fisher of men. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Before, there's no invitation of coming forward this morning, but perhaps you said, Brother Jerry, there's something in my life that's been stirred. I've been silent. It makes me evaluate what kind of love do I have for my Savior. There's people that I love back home. Friends I know, they're not saved. And I want you for God. I want you to pray for God to help me. Just to make myself available. So God could do a great work on the hearts of reaching the lost for Christ. If that's so, would you raise your hand in the air with me at this time? That's a phenomenal response. And I thank God that you're tender. And I pray that we'll see people in heaven one day because of what God would do through your life. Our dear Father, take the word of God now, be honored by it. For those who raise their hands, Lord, use them to make themselves available to Thee. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.